Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Thursday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck coming to you from quarantine day four. Clay, my main man, is traveling down to Florida for a live event where he'll be representing the Clay and Buck Show in person. So you're rolling with me today, and we have, fortunately, a lot to discuss. Man, I watched all of that Biden press conference yesterday, all of it, because that's the kind of love I have for the content and analysis of this show. I sat through the whole thing. We've got the aftermath of that, and certainly the Ukrainian prime minister not impressed, among many other people, not impressed with how Joe Biden did. We've also got the Senate failing to break the filibuster, or choosing to not break the filibuster, better way of putting it, 52-48 vote last night. Kyrsten Sinema with the I shout heard round the Senate and round the U.S., perhaps, deciding that she was not going to allow for this break. So what was that all about? What was all the theatrics and the nasty Biden speech? We will break that down for you. And plus, Fauci, we find out a little additional bit of information about the not so good doctor, the lab coat tyrant himself, Dr. Fauci. Oh, he'll be making some appearances on the shows today. By all means, trust me, friends, we will get into it. So let's start with the Biden presser yesterday. Some of you have probably seen some of it. I doubt many of you sat through the whole thing. It went about almost 2 hours, I think. It was quite lengthy. And here's what I want to just start with for all of you. I'm quite confident, based on what we've heard in the last, in this press conference from Biden over the last 24 hours, that year two is going to be even worse. You know, there are a lot of people who are writing Biden's year one is the worst of any president in modern history, and his decision making is so inept. He seems like he's not all there. He's foggy. He's an empty suit. We could go all day with this stuff, right? Yeah, that's all true. But is it going to get any better? And I think the answer is likely for it to actually be about as bad or worse, probably worse, in the second year, because he has no political capital. The Democrat Party is in a quiet panic behind the scenes about how this guy can't really run again, can he? And if he has no power starting after the midterms and has very little political capital to use now, what exactly was the point of putting this guy forward, other than just to stop Trump for 4 more years, which, let's be honest, for Democrats, anything other than Orange Man bad was the preference, right? So they've gotten that, but is there anything more that they will get? This is where you look at what Joe Biden was saying and doing yesterday in this press conference. You thought to yourself, I can't believe this guy is actually the president of the United States. I can't believe that this is what the Democrats have saddled the country with. But let's just start with this. You have heard no shortage over the last few years of people who talk about the threat to our democracy from undermining faith in our elections. And this really started, well, actually, it started when they didn't accept the results of the election in the year 2000 in Bush versus Gore. But and as you notice, the Democrats never really seem to accept presidential election results that they don't like. But this became a major narrative in 2016 with the Russia collusion hoax that the Democrats cobbled together with the help of a compliant, complicit media. And this was the whole game, right? Oh, it was Russia. It wasn't really a legitimate election. I remember being on the streets of New York City right after Trump beat Hillary Clinton. And it was like a bomb of sadness had gone off in Manhattan. I mean, everyone was just walking around looking like some terrible atrocity had just occurred. And, you know, of course, I was quietly, for the most part, doing backflips down the street. I said, oh, my gosh, Donald Trump just beat Hillary Clinton. This is amazing. But they were shouting, and I mean literally shouting. There were mobs marching in the streets, shouting, not my president, not my president, not my, you know, screeching all together right away. They didn't even wait for the guy to be sworn in. And there were also people who were claiming right away that it was a illegitimate election. That's where Russia came in. So they just denied the reality of it. And this is supposed to be a grave sin against democracy. Oh, my gosh, this undermines when it's the Democrats who are in power. When a Republican's in power, it's actually necessary. But now they've actually gone beyond that. Joe Biden in the press conference yesterday is essentially doing a preemptive strike against the impending annihilation of Democrats in the midterms, which hasn't happened yet. And we do not count our chickens until they hatch. We have to keep the pedal to the metal on this one. But it's not looking good for them, obviously. So what do? Well, they try to get their base both fired up, but also build a little bit of political insurance by already saying, if we don't get what we want, meaning massive changes to election law to help Democrats, then the actual election that happens next fall is not legitimate. Here's Joe Biden mumbling through this one about the 2022 midterms. Play four.
A moment ago, you were asked whether or not you believed that we would have free and fair elections in 2022 if some of these state legislatures reformed their voting protocols. You said that it depends. Do you think that they would in any way be illegitimate?
Oh, yeah, I think it easily could be illegitimate. Imagine if, in fact, Trump has succeeded in convincing Pence to not count the votes.
In regards to 2022, sir, the midterm
election. Oh, 2022. I mean, imagine if those attempts to say that the count was not legit. You have to recount it, or we're not going to count. We're going to discard the following votes. I mean, sure, I'm not saying it's going to be legit. It's the increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed.
I know that was a bunch of, you know, argle bargle malarkey and whatever, but you heard this here. The direct proportion of the legitimacy or illegitimacy of the election is determined. The proportion of it is determined by how much of the voting rights bill agenda Joe Biden gets through, which was just defeated, of course, last night, because they're not going to break the filibuster in the Senate to get it through. So what he's really saying is, yeah, it's going to be not that legitimate of an election, folks. It's just not that legitimate. This is where they talk about the voter suppression that's all across the country. But where? Who is being suppressed exactly? They don't present individuals. They just present a narrative. Where is this voter suppression happening? I have to wonder. But it didn't get better from there. I mean, I'll get into the Russia-Ukraine stuff in a few moments, because that got a lot of attention from folks. But I'm still stuck on what the heck is Joe Biden really doing? I mean, what does this guy think he's accomplishing day in and day out? Or even the people around him that are using him as some kind of pseudo moderate folksy marionette, you know, it just dances around for people as they pull the strings. Here is, for example, Joe Biden during the press conference yesterday, screaming at White House reporter Phil Wegman. And he's essentially saying that you better be clear and, you know, better be clear and listen to what I said. And then I'm going to say a bunch of things that don't make sense. Play 16.
You campaigned and you ran on a return to civility. And I know that you dispute the characterization that you called folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace. But you said that they would be sort of in the same camp.
No, I didn't say that. Look what I said. Go back and read what I said and tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor that they were Bull Connor. That is an interesting reading of English. I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
So did you expect that would work with Senators Manchin or Sinema?
No, here's the thing. There's certain things that are so consequential. You have to speak from your heart as well as your head. I was speaking out forcefully on what I think to be at stake. That's what it is.
Let me just tell you what he actually said here, because first of all, he does the usual, hey, I'm mad. I'm mad in their words. I'm going to stare at you while I find the words to yell at you with. And then I'm going to get confused. And maybe I'm going to whisper real loud for no reason. This is the whole trope. This is what Biden does. We all know the routine, right? It's not impressive. It's not working very well. Here is what he said in that speech, just to be clear. As he goes, you know, go back and read. Okay, I'm reading, Joe. Stop yelling at me. I'm reading. Here you are. I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? End quote. Okay, that's what he says about a voting rights bill that he can't even get all the members of the Democrat Senate to go along with. He created that absurd and really slanderous dichotomy. He's the one that said it's a choice. You know, you can either be a great civil rights hero or be an evil racist. Up to you, Republicans. This is what he did. And then when he's called out, you'll notice he yells and gets angry. Oh, I'm speaking from the heart. I mean, this is why he was, 76th of 85 at Syracuse Law, class of 68. True story, by the way. Not exactly a genius of logic and rhetoric, but president of the United States somehow. And we're all seeing what those results are. I will get into the big statement on Russia. What is it that he said about Ukraine and Russia that got everybody so, oh my gosh, this guy's in charge? This is terrifying. I will tell you what it is as soon as we come back, friends. And we are just getting started here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We get a lot of email, a lot of messages about the sponsors of this program. And Nancy, living in Texas, was in touch with us about Relief Factor. Remember, Relief Factor is the 100% drug-free product that addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, and neck pain. It helps your body reduce pain and inflammation. Now, Nancy writes and shares with us how much she loves Relief Factor. She makes her living teaching people how to ride horses. So you can imagine how stiff and pain-filled she might feel at the end of a long day with five horses and lots of lessons each day. She started using Relief Factor and found she has more stamina now because she no longer hurts. It took her a couple of months to feel as good as she does now, but is absolutely convinced that Relief Factor made all the difference. Created by doctors and based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
Never seen sanctions like the ones I promised will be imposed if he moves, number one. Number two, we're in a situation where Vladimir Putin is about to, we've had very frank discussions, Vladimir Putin and I, and the idea that NATO is not going to be united, I don't buy. And so I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, etc. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
Incursion would be one thing, he said. A lot of people seized on that, including the actual president, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. Just as there are, he posted this tweet, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones, I say this as a president of a great power. So he says, we want to remind the great powers there are no minor incursions and no small nations. That was the top of the tweet. And then it was just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. So no such thing as a minor incursion by Russian military into Ukraine, according to the president of Ukraine. And I got to say, there was so much Ukraine talk yesterday. It did at some points feel like Joe Biden was, oh, I don't know, getting paid by the board of Burisma or something, you know, 10% for the big guy. A lot of talk about Ukraine. And here's where we are. Nobody really thinks that Joe Biden is taken seriously by much of the rest of the world, certainly by any of our adversaries. I mean, maybe the fancy latte drinkers in Paris and Brussels are Joe Biden fans compared to Trump, sure. But our adversaries, the people that wish Americans and American interests harm, they don't look at Joe Biden and think, oh, wow, this is a guy that we better not cross. They figure, he's a patsy, a pushover. He doesn't want to do too much because then he'll have to actually make decisions along the way. So now's the time to push. You'll notice a fascinating recent historical reality. When did Ukraine have that fraudulent, depending on who you ask and which news sources you go to, but it is believed by the international community to be fraudulent, referendum in Crimea, or illegal referendum in Crimea? It was under Obama when Biden was vice president. When did the actual incursion into Ukraine by Russian-backed paramilitaries, when did that start? Oh, that's right. It started under Obama when Biden was vice president. And yet we heard for how many years that Trump was a Russian stooge. Trump blew up, or rather the U.S. military while Trump was commander in chief, blew up, what, almost 200 Russian paramilitaries in the Syrian desert who were threatening our Kurdish allies in the fight against ISIS. Trump sent to Ukraine, just remember this, specifically sent to Ukraine munitions, including the Javelin anti-tank missiles and sniper rifles for long range contact that the Obama administration, and I debated the Obama NSC director for Ukraine on this and got him to admit it directly years ago, would not send that stuff because they didn't want to. The Obama team didn't want to antagonize the Russians, and Trump sent that stuff. And now here we are with Biden, and the Russians have over 100,000 troops massed. It looks like they're going in, folks. I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. I feel badly for the Ukrainian people, but it's also not our fight. It's just not. It is not our fight. We should not send troops. We should not send soldiers. And anyone who is suggesting otherwise, we got to have a really serious disagreement aired out in public. It's not our battle. We've done too much of that in recent years, recent decades. And it's time for the American people to be first and foremost concerned with the interest of Americans. Right? I don't even think the Biden regime is so foolish as to overstep what is necessary here in response to Russia. Yeah, there'll be sanctions. There'll be a diplomatic stuff, economic reactions. But if Putin's going in, well, it looks like Biden just gave him a little wink and a nod. You know, hey, look, if you're going to go in, don't go in too much. Just a little bit. Going to cause problems. Don't make the problems the kind they're going to make me look stupid on TV. And that's pretty much it. And I'm sure Putin was watching and saying, could be worse. So this is where we are, friends. What's the latest on Dr. Fauci and the fight against Omicron, the realities we're seeing play out with the numbers, the data? I'm going to get into all of that with you. There's something you don't know about Fauci that you got to know. And I'm going to tell you when we come back in a moment. Look, often the companies that you spend money on, they give a lot of money to political candidates. You don't even know about it. Companies you trust for one thing, they make political contributions and you have no idea. Consider the company you rely on for cell phone service and the bill you're paying each month. Your money supports the candidates and issues that that company donates to. If you look closely, you're probably going to find out they're supporting leftist politicians pushing commie agendas. But there's a solution, Pure Talk. Get your cell phone service from Pure Talk. They use the exact same towers, the exact same 5G network as one of those companies making those contributions. But with Pure Talk, you get the peace of mind that your dollars are supporting a veteran-run business with employees here in the U.S. And you're going to get a lower monthly bill, probably half what your current cell phone bill is. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's dial #250 and say Pure Talk.
The President of the United States and the Majority Leader of the Senate have made breaking the Senate a central part of their plan for America. Thanks to the courageous, they will not succeed. This country will be shielded from their radicalism tonight. And make no mistake about it, this is radicalism. So the Senate will be saved tonight. America can breathe a sigh of relief. This radicalism will have been stopped. It's a good day for America.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. That was Mitch McConnell last night after the effort by Biden and the Senate Democrats to break the Senate failed, at least for now. What was this all about? And is this fight going to continue on in some way? We got somebody who can address that with us with real expertise. Our friend Senator Rick Scott from the great state of Florida is with us now. Senator, thanks for being here.
Well, it's great to be with you. But you know, think about it. The Democrat Party is now the anti-democracy party. Think about it. They've abandoned all their principles. My parents, you know, my parents were Democrats. And, you know, my adopted dad was a Teamster, a truck driver. He thought the Democrat Party cared about him. Now, all the Democrats care about is power. I mean, they've given up all their principles. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to take over all of the elections. They don't want to, you know, when they're in the majority by one vote, the vice president, they want to be able to completely radically change this country. So, I mean, this is just the anti-democracy party.
Senator Scott, what exactly were they trying to get out of this? Because Manchin and Sinema had made it very clear, and as Manchin pointed out, he's been consistent, unlike other Democrats on this, that he's not going to go forward with any change to the filibuster. So what game was Chuck Schumer playing here? Was it just the optics? Was it so they could call Republicans racist going into the midterms? What's this all about?
Well, first off, I think he's scared to death of AOC primarying him. I mean, everybody I talk to says that he is scared to death that AOC. So he's now controlled by the radical left. He's always been a lefty, but now it's a radical left. And this is all about politics. They can call Republicans names. They can, you know, they talk about, you know, the prior president or January 6th. This is just all of a vendetta because they have no plans. I mean, look at inflation. They have no plan to deal with inflation, secure the border, have a military that's lethal. I mean, they have nothing. They have nothing they can say other than the things that they've done badly for people. 100,000 people died of drug overdose. Joe Biden didn't care. I mean, completely open border. I just talked to a border agent today. He said there's almost no agents patrolling the border. They're all doing administrative duty now.
You know, I just tweeted out yesterday, we're speaking to Senator Rick Scott of Florida, for everyone joining us and listening. Senator, I tweeted out during the press conference that Biden had about 2 hours, not really a single, I mean, they touched on the border at one point a little bit, but only to make the case for how people are coming because, you know, they're desperate and we're supposed to be sympathetic to the illegal immigration that's happening. No one asking about what is the regime, the Biden presidency, doing about illegal immigration. It feels like, one, the American people aren't allowed to know, according to the Biden playbook here, what's really going on at the border. And two, there is absolutely, speaking of a playbook, no plan to stop the illegal immigration that's hitting record numbers last year and will this year.
Well, so I've been down to the border a bunch of times. And as I talk to the Border Patrol agents, they will tell you this is the first president that had no plan whatsoever. They might disagree with how they're doing it, but they have no plan to secure the border. And what they want to do is they want to hide the information. I mean, there's now in this country, one out of every 3,000 people that were alive a year ago died of a drug overdose in 1 year. One out of every 150 people in this country today came into this country illegally in the last 12 months. So you know the debacle in Afghanistan? You probably haven't gotten all the information about how many people they evacuated and why they evacuated them and how many American citizens. You know why? Because they don't want you to know. We forced them. I'm on the Homeland Security Committee to give us a briefing. They made us do it in the most secure environment in the Capitol, and there was nothing in there that was confidential. I asked them. I said, so 79,000 people came to this country. How'd you pick them? Well, they're at the airport. How many Americans? About 5,000. I said, how many people with special visas? About 2,000. I said, can you vet all the others? No, we didn't vet them. But I said, now, can they just walk off these bases? Yeah. Now, everything I just told you, they gave to me in a classified setting. And I said to them, is any of this classified? No. They did it so you don't know. This is the anti-democracy party. They don't trust you anymore. They don't trust American citizens to have good information and make good choices. They want to make all your choices. Don't worry about that. Oh, what happened in Afghanistan? We've got it all under control. Our way is the right way. And that's the Democrat mantra right now.
We're speaking to Senator Rick Scott of Florida. Senator Scott, you have introduced the SMART Act to prohibit bad policy when it comes to COVID restrictions, specifically about a vaccine mandate on U.S. flights. Can you tell us a bit more about that? And just also, what are some of the things that you're trying to... The state of Florida has been the primary beacon of freedom from COVID tyranny for the last almost 2 years now. So what else would you like to see expanded across the country and other states to adopt, and perhaps even, if you could, get some of your Democrat colleagues to go along with, but we know you won't. But what needs to happen now?
So here's how I think about it. I'm a business guy, right? I became governor in 2010 as a business guy. I said, I'm going to give people good information. They're going to make good choices. They're like a customer. You don't get to make the customer buy your stuff. You give them good information, and they make good informed decision if you have a good product or service. That's how I thought about it. I had 4 hurricanes. I never mandated anybody evacuate, but people evacuated because they figured out it was safer for them. Our government has failed us with regard to COVID. At every level of government, they need to give us more information, and we'll make good informed decisions. And they need to quit the mandates. They shouldn't be telling us we have to have a mask on an airline. Let the airline decide what they want to do. Maybe an airline will say, hey, everybody has to have a vaccine on this flight. Everybody has to have a mask. But another one, they don't. And guess what? You as a consumer get to choose what this is. But the federal government shouldn't mandate for public transportation, for Amtrak, for any of this. Here, you have to do anything. You have to wear a mask. You have to be vaccinated. I don't believe in that. I don't believe they should be telling you these things. I believe they should be giving you good information. You'll make good informed decisions. My parents had very little formal education. They made good individual choices, and they wanted to make sure all of us kids were safe. That's my expectation. I'm tired of the federal government telling us how to lead our life. By the way, I was on the Senate floor, and I proposed that Biden couldn't require us to get a vaccine mandate before food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, and public housing. And by the way, the Democrats blocked that because they believe Biden should be able to do it.
Senator Scott, before we let you go, I wanted to know if you think, and we're speaking to Senator Rick Scott of Florida, for everyone joining us, I want to know what you think about the Biden legislative agenda, the Build Back Better bill, which we're now hearing there's still some back and forth with Manchin. They're still negotiating. I mean, this is what at least the political reporters are running around with. Is there going to be a Build Back Better at some level, at some cost? Or you think this whole thing is just going to turn into a big nothing and then the people will sort it out in the midterm election?
Well, first off, I hope nothing happens. And here's why. We have the highest inflation in this country in 7 years. It's a result of excessive government spending. And that's what the Democrats have been doing. We've got to start living within our means. We have to create safety nets for the people who need it. But if you can work, you shouldn't be having a safety net. I mean, you should work. Go get a job. I mean, we don't have enough people working right now. We need to have more people working than people taking benefits. And so I'm sick and tired of the Democrats saying, oh, we care about people. No, you don't care about people. You throw money. You cause inflation. The poorest families, like my family growing up, we lived in public housing. They had to deal with inflation when I was growing up. And it was very difficult because their wages never went up as fast as inflation. That's going on across the country. People are choosing like my mom would have to choose. Do I put gas in the car or food on the table? So all this spending sounds really nice. It's not free. Either it's borrowed money, and we already have $30 trillion worth of debt, right? Or they're going to raise somebody's taxes. And so it's not like government has any money. The government doesn't generate money other than taxing people. And so we're causing unbelievable inflation, and we're making people dependent on government when they should be dependent on themselves.
Senator Rick Scott, thanks for coming by the show. Appreciate it.
All right. Congratulations. Take care.
Thanks so much. Come back to a little bit more of the Democrat strategy around all this and Kamala addressing. Oh, that's right. The vice president addressing some of Biden's remarks yesterday. You'll want to hear this. She's getting a bit aggravated with the press. Remember, the press are supposed to be, and they are, the propaganda arm of the DNC, you know, operating semi-independently of the Democrat Party. That's what most of political media does. So when they start to get a little frustrated with the regime, you know, it's because it's gotten so bad that they can't even make the propaganda stick. We'll get into all that in a moment. Valentine's Day this year, Tommy John has a new phrase for all. Keep it simply soft. KISS, for short. See how they did that? Keep it simply soft with new loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. I am sitting here right now in a black Tommy John hoodie. It is like the most comfortable thing that I own. I have three of them now, and I wear them constantly to do this radio show. When you and your favorite person are wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, which allows you to do everything better. That's why Tommy John doesn't just have customers, they have fanatics, and Clay and I are proudly two of them. Tommy John loungewear makes you feel perfectly at ease every time you wear it. With soft tri-blend and micromodal fabrics for four-way stretch, you'll feel the love all year long. With over 17 million pairs sold, Tommy John's made couples across the country comfier than ever. Look, I'm wearing the Tommy John right now, as I told you. I've also got T-shirts, hoodies, sweats, underwear, all of it from Tommy John. Plus, there's no risk. Every gift is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now by going to TommyJohn.com/buck. That's T-O-M-M-Y, TommyJohn.com/buck. TommyJohn.com/buck for 20% off. See site for details. Welcome back into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And Clay out today. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm rolling solo here. Check out the Buck Sexton Show podcast, put out in the morning when you get a chance. Please subscribe to it as well. It's a quick rundown of the day's events. And also the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast, which is crushing it with big numbers month to month. And we really, really appreciate and thank all of you for that. So let's keep it going. I told you about this before, but I want to give you the name of the phenomenon. It's when parents get to see what their kids are being taught in schools. Curriculum transparency. That's the term they're using now. The opponents, this is an NBC News piece, so of course you're going to get a lot of left-wing bias in the way it's framed. Just get ready for that. But the opponents of critical race theory are focusing on what they call curriculum transparency now. And this is really straightforward. This is just letting parents know what their kids are being taught. Let me just read you a little bit from this NBC piece. As state legislatures kick into gear this month, Republican governors and lawmakers who have fought to limit discussions of race in public school, that's how they describe it, oh sure, are lining up to support a new aim, curriculum transparency. Lawmakers in at least 12 states have introduced legislation to require schools to post lists of all their teaching materials online, including books, articles, and videos. The governors of Arizona, Florida, and Iowa, who have previously raised concerns about how teachers discuss racism's impact on politics and society, called for curriculum transparency laws in speeches to their legislatures this month. Indeed. Why is this even? Let's start with this. Why is this even remotely controversial? Does anyone think, what is the alternative to this? Let's just start from that perspective. And remember, this was a critical issue, critical race theory, in the Virginia win of Glenn Youngkin as the new governor and his whole team, Winsome Sears and others coming in. We had the new attorney general on earlier this week for the state of Virginia. And this whole new team is coming to Virginia and they're doing great stuff. And part of it is getting rid of this. It's really just leftist indoctrination. I don't have kids, so I have to speak about this in the generic sense or in the theoretical sense. But I wouldn't want my kids being taught critical race theory of any kind or any sort of racial sensitivity training or anything like that in school, period, because we know what this actually is. It is indoctrination into a kind of racial Marxism in this country, and it's wrong and it's unethical and it makes students feel weird and it makes students feel like their race, whether they're white or non-white, is somehow to be a defining characteristic of who they are and how they should be treated and how they should treat others. It's wrong to do this. But put that aside for a moment. Curriculum transparency. What is the alternative to this? Curriculum secrecy, which is essentially what teachers are relying on, that they can indoctrinate children and the kids don't really, because they don't know. That's the whole point. Why do we know that the Marxists want to get the kids young? Why do the commies want to brainwash your children before they actually know what commies are? Because then it's a lot harder to undo the work, right? Then all of a sudden you're dealing with a child who's just, as they grow up and they begin to formulate their worldview, their political opinions, they're walking around saying, whose streets are streets? We need the Green New Deal. You know, stuff like that. All of a sudden you're saying, wait, what? Where did this come from? At that point, it's, you know, you've already got a challenge on your hands. You've got a little, you thought you're, you got little Timmy or little Sarah, and it's actually a little wokester running around. And this is what happens. And it certainly happens at the college level. I mean, I know so many people who say their kids come back from college and all of a sudden they're so indoctrinated. And the indoctrination starts right away. I remember in my own college experience. See, for me, when I was at Amherst College in Massachusetts, which is a very left-wing school, it presents itself as everyone's walking around in, you know, fleece vests and playing lacrosse, but it's actually ideologically, politically very left-wing. And I didn't play lacrosse, by the way. When I remember being there, and right away there were these full-on indoctrination classes, and the indoctrination classes were on a whole range of issues, but essentially the usual diversity, inclusion, white privilege, white people are oppressors. If you're white, you have to always be conscious of the fact that you're part of the, you know, the dominant paradigm in society and all this other stuff. And you say, wait, what? All these kids show up at schools. They're living in the America of today. They're saying that, you know, that they like everybody. They don't care what anyone's skin color is or race or anything else. They just show up. They just want to make friends. They want to hang out. They want to have a good time and learn some stuff. Oh, no, not allowed. Got to be indoctrinated right away. Well, that's at least with, you know, 18-year-olds. What goes on in the school system right now, and we've seen it from the training materials, and always I give props to Chris Rufo of the Manhattan Institute for being the guy who really spearheaded a lot of this and got the, he got the primary source documents out there. It was so effective. Because they would say, oh, we're not teaching critical race theory. And then say, well, what's this whole thing about doing, you know, calling out your privilege or doing separation of children into different racial groups. And then they get to talk about how they feel about their privilege vis-a-vis other groups, all this stuff that was being done in lots of schools across the country. And because of Zoom classes, you see, this all comes back to the idea of transparency. It was because students were at home and parents were within earshot that they started to say, huh? What are my kids being taught by this public school or private or parochial schools do the same stuff a lot of the time. What are they being taught? And then when they showed up at school boards, what happened? Oh, then it's you be quiet. Your children don't belong to you. They belong to the community. Again, the commies showing their hand. They belong to the collective. You don't get to make a determination about your kids' schooling and their futures. We'll do that for you. One thing that the American people still have is a lot of parents who are protective of their children and won't take any crap when it comes to their kids. And when they're told to shut up, they know there's something wrong. And when they're told by the Biden regime that if they show up at school board meetings and voice their displeasure, which I thought was kind of the whole purpose of the school board meetings, you know, when they're upset about something, they may end up on some kind of a terror watch list, or they're insurrectionists in education or whatever, as we saw with this Biden regime, our horrendous overreach, and obviously meant to have a chilling effect on parents speaking out against this madness, very clearly speaking out against this madness, right? And do you know what they're saying about this effort now to get curriculum transparency? I love that we've got a name for it, too, because it really allows us to hone in on this, that it will create censorship. Oh, first of all, that's kind of funny, isn't it? I thought the left loved censorship. Look at what they do with social media. You've got the White House, the Biden regime running around telling big tech that you have to shut down anybody who does not go along with a preferred line when it comes to COVID restrictions, masks, all the rest of it. So they're already openly calling for censorship as part of the Biden regime, as you know. But just put that aside for a second, because the hypocrisy of the left claiming to be upset about censorship, given what they're doing during COVID, given that they wouldn't allow the Hunter Biden laptop story to be told right before the election. 10% for the big guy. Remember that? All real, all true. Oh, we thought it was hacked material. No, they didn't. Lying. Lying in the moment and now lying about it afterwards. But beyond that, why wouldn't they want to show exactly what the kids are being taught? Isn't that just basic? It's so easy now. Technology's made it easy. Show what the lesson plan is. Show what the kids are learning. Parents can then supplement it more at home. They can talk to their kids about it. This is nothing but upside. See, this is the problem they're going to have here. There is no, their claim of, oh, it's going to make parents. If parents are teaching something that is, I'm sorry, if students are being taught things by teachers that make parents uncomfortable, the parents have a right to know. The parents have a right to know. Now, yeah, maybe there's someone who's, you know, oh, you can't teach that. And I, you know, and they've got some weird ideas about, I don't know, the Flat Earth Society or something. That's not what they're worried about. That the teachers' unions and the public school system want to continue to get away with teaching critical race theory, and they don't want anyone to be able to stand in the way. And all that has to happen is for people to know, parents to know what's really going on. Then the whole system starts to crumble. They can't get away with it the same way. And as I was saying, it's all upside. Not only will it prevent teachers from being able to indoctrinate kids against the wishes of their children, it goes beyond that. It means that now parents can say, oh, wow, that's so interesting. You're learning that today. You know, maybe we'll go to the museum and check out an exhibit that'll tie into that. Or maybe I can recommend a book, or we can read a book together that will supplement that. Or, you know, why can't parents know? Why can't they be more involved? Because they want to indoctrinate your kids. And as true commies, they think that your kids belong to them, really, to the community, not to the parents, not to the family. Come back in just a moment with some closing thoughts for you today here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. You know, time moves fast. We're 3 weeks into January, and Valentine's Day is just 3.5 weeks away. For gift giving on this holiday, it's decision time to order the right thing. Tommy John has it with their new loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. When you and your favorite person are wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. That's why Tommy John doesn't just have customers, they've got fanatics, both men and women. 98% of men and women love Valentine's Day gifts from Tommy John. Tommy John loungewear makes you feel perfectly at ease every time you wear it. With soft tri-blend and micromodal fabrics for four-way stretch, you'll feel the love all year long. With over 17 million pairs sold, Tommy John's made couples across the country comfier than ever. Plus, there's no risk. Every gift is backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/buck. Go to TommyJohn.com/buck for 20% off. Again, that's TommyJohn.com/buck. See site for details.